Good news, everyone. We've got a very special delivery today.
Good morning. I'm with The Morning After here on 89.9 KGRG-FM.
Hi.
Good morning, ladies.
Hello.
Good morning.
So, we have your band name, but let's go individual members and what you guys play.
My name is Bria. I'm the front. I'm the singer.
I am Anna, and I sing backup vocals and drum.
My name's Austin, and I play guitar.
I am Stephanie, and I play bass and sing a little here and there. Yeah.
You guys were telling me earlier, you all play bass, though, so.
We all play bass.
You all play bass. Perfect.
Yep.
Yeah, we just take turns. We just get up there, and, like, I'll play an E, and then Anna plays an A, and then, yeah, we just do
We go through the entire scale.
Beautiful. But you guys are actually here because not only do you have your first album release on Saturday.
Yes.
You also have an album release party at, oh my God, I'm going to blank on this again. You guys are going to have your album release party at Luigi's Pizza in Tacoma, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All ages starts at 8 p.m.
$8 to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all ages, which
good
is cool.
Pizza.
With awesome bands, Lust Punch, Sprism, and Locomotive, they're all super awesome.
Yeah.
And we're so excited.
Yeah. How'd you guys end up meeting those bands? Like, did you have somebody build a lineup for you, or...?
Personally, my old band played with Locomotive all the time, so I'm just best buds with them. They're the best people in the world.
Super nice guys and girls.
Yes, and girl.
Yeah. The other bands we just kind of found on social media, and we were like, hey, you guys look really cool. So it'll be our first time playing with them at Luigi's on this Saturday.
Well, there you go. I mean, meeting people's neat.
Yeah.
So how'd you guys all meet then? Because you met all the other people through social media, so how'd you guys meet?
I originally started the project about a year and a half ago. I wanted to start an all-girl punk band as we're. So I went out on a mission, and I found Anna through a couple of mutual friends. And we worked together for a while, and then eventually...
It was just the two of us?
It was the two of us for a long time. And she was in another band. She was in Destination Unknown. And that's how we found Stephanie, was through a different show.
My old band, Five Star, played a show with Destination Unknown at Luigi's. That's where Anna and I met.
Yes.
And her mom started talking to me and was like, hey, come jam out with my daughter and this girl who, like, plays bass and sings a little bit. And I was like, that's all I know how to do. Okay, sure, let's jam a little bit. And then...
Right when I met Stephanie, I was like, she's awesome.
We
need to connect with her.
Band love at first sight.
Yeah, it was pretty great. We had a pretty fun little jam session, and we had another guitarist that I was familiar with. We were working with for a while, but then things didn't really work out, and we found Ostiana.
After many, many searches.
A lot of searches.
So I actually was lurking the Seattle metal and punk scene Facebook group because I use that all the time to find what local shows are going on, and Anna had actually posted about them needing a female guitarist, and so I was like, sure, that sounds like fun, and here I am.
First time that I met Austin, I was like, oh my God, we need her, we need her, now.
So you guys end up skipping the whole, like, Craigslist thing altogether. That's pretty sweet.
I tried Craigslist once, it was...
Not a good deal.
Not a good... I clearly labeled the please don't message if you are a man and if you're going to be weird, and the only email response I got was a man who was very weird.
So. Well, that's Craigslist for you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's so much easier to just go through Facebook, so...
Mm-hmm. So really many is. Social media outlets to choose from.
Yeah.
The fact that you guys all met... Well, two of you guys met at a show was pretty sweet, too.
Yeah, well, that was pretty cool.
The three of us have been in the Seattle music scene for a long time. Personally, I've been playing in bands since I was 10, so, yeah.
I mean, between the four of us, there's over 20 years of just band experience.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So why punk, then?
Well, like, I wouldn't exactly define us as punk.
Yeah, I think at our core, we're definitely... punk as far as our mentality and the types of things we sing about, like, we're really for equality and we're very much feminist, and that historically has been a very punk thing to do, but not all of our songs are quite so punky. We have a lot of songs that are a little bit more grungy. We have a song that actually goes into like a jazz beat. So we try to keep it a little bit out there, not be so much of the same thing all the time.
We all have different inspirations and influences, and it kind of just all molds together, and it makes a beautiful thing.
No one's ever come up to me and been like, you guys sound just like this band. Like, yeah. I've never gotten anything like that. I don't think any of us
We're
have.
Definitely a variety band.
Yeah, why, you know, you gotta keep them on your toes, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, is this gonna eventually become like a noise band, or just... not quite?
Probably not in the near future, but I wouldn't say it's impossible.
I'm sure there's gonna be a song one day like that.
One day. I mean, there's yeah. There's potential.
There's potential.
And you guys have done a few shows before this Louis G's one. How was that? How was the process of getting the band from, okay, getting the group together to actually playing shows?
Once we had, it's so much easier when you have a full lineup.
Yeah, the second we got our Austi, it was a full lineup. Like, we're looking for
didn't
shows.
Didn't we play our first show 2 weeks after we got her?
Yes.
It was 2 weeks. It was NPCC down in Tacoma. It's actually shut down now. But we played there, and we just kept getting offers that were better and better, and now we're playing venues like the Crocodile.
We played the Hard Rock.
That's pretty big, yeah.
Yeah, we played the Hard Rock Cafe. Mm-hmm.
The Hard Rock was our third show.
Yeah, that was our third show
ever.
The
Crocodile was our fifth.
Yep.
Jeez, now that bands have been playing together for years, still trying to get in the Crocodile. That's awesome.
Yeah, we were really lucky too with the Crocodile. It was we met some really nice people at the Hard Rock, and they offered us some shows at Crocodile. The first show, just coincidentally, was the first night X was playing on the main stage, so both rooms sold out, which was
awesome,
breathtaking.
Which was insane,
it was that was pretty cool.
We've been very fortunate, and we have lots of connections that we've made, and it's been really, really great.
Yeah. A combination of all of our experience and, just doing what we can.
And then from there, you guys actually moved on to recording this first album, or you guys actually had a demo before that, right?
No. We just kind of released some tracks from practice, on my personal SoundCloud. It was just kind of floating around.
Yeah, just kind of like, okay, we do play music.
Like, we're real.
There's
just
stuff
like,
happening.
So we don't. Not play music.
We don't not play music. Yes.
Where did you guys end up recording? Was it like in your basement somewhere?
We actually ended up going to my hometown, Boise, Idaho. My dad has a little studio called the Wrong Note Studio, and it turned out to be the perfect place for us to go. He was the perfect mix of understanding what we wanted and being able to give us the sound we wanted. So
we did how many tracks?
14
tracks in 3 days.
Yes.
It was pretty gnarly. We showed up Monday night, and we basically didn't stop until Thursday morning.
Yeah, those were some very, very long days, but they were definitely worth it. Mm-hmm.
Things got a little weird.
We powered through.
Yes.
And we did it.
How'd you convince your guys' jobs to give you that time off? Like, I have a hard enough time just like, yo, I need to take a weekend off to go to a show. My boss was like, yeah, but you gotta cover for somebody else in the morning. How'd you guys get like 4 days off? That's insane.
I was taking an extended break anyways, so it was more kind of like, hey, can I have an extra week added? Which I kind of got in a little fight with my boss at the time, but that's fine.
It happens.
Every time I go in for a new job, I tell them my band is my priority. My music is my priority. It always will be. So if I need time off, I'm going to kind of expect that when I need it. I will give you all the notice in the world. I will work to cover my shifts. And that's what I did. I gave them notice and I got my shifts covered myself. So it wasn't an issue.
Yeah, and luckily for Anna and I, we're both students. She is in high school and I go to UW. So we were both on summer break at that point. So it was easy for us.
Easy for us. Woo!
And then you guys told me earlier that you're looking at a tour possibly, but you guys actually have a possible gig down in Los Angeles, right?
We've been invited to play down in a college festival. I believe it's called Kahootek.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's really, really awesome opportunity. We're not 100% confirmed on that, so I can't really give you too many details about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But,
It would be in Claremont, so close to L.A.
Almost, yeah.
We definitely have some fun things in store, and we're looking forward to the future. And
of course, you know, anyone listening, you can follow our social media page. We got Facebook, Instagram. We'll announce everything. We'll bother you. Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Nice. So I actually wanted to get some... I want to talk food with you guys because it's at Luigi's Pizza. The concert's this Saturday. Again, it's Saturday at 8. And it's at a pizza place.
Yes.
I've noticed for like at least the last 6 months, there's been fights going around on between like Twitter and Facebook. Does pineapple belong on pizza? So I want to ask you guys, does pineapple belong on pizza? Yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely not. Y'all are insane.
Okay, why?
You don't even eat pizza.
I love pizza.
You can't eat anything but basically pineapples on your pizza, you Nuh-uh. Vegan.
No one shakes. You're vegetarian. No, I like pizza with potatoes and garlic and olive oil and like all the other normal stuff, you know, tomatoes.
That sounds delightful, because but why potatoes? Onions.
Yeah, well, because, you know, okay, potatoes are a normal thing, right?
Have you never had potatoes on pizza? I'm from Idaho.
You just, like, put potato on the pizza?
The dough is already
that's
your
exactly
carbs.
It. Who cares? That's all I eat is carbs.
Just carbo load? There you go.
No, dude, but have you, okay, real talk, have you ever had potatoes on pizza?
No.
Don't knock it till you try it.
I didn't know that was an option. Like,
well, anyway.
Dude.
Who do I hit up for potatoes on my pizza? Is it thing I have to do myself?
You know, like when you go to like a mod pizza, like how you can build your own?
Okay.
Usually they'll have potatoes, but usually people don't like see that. But they'll have like little diced up potatoes you can put on there.
You'll have to come this Saturday at 8 p.m. and ask Luigi's if they have a potato pizza, and
I
if
actually
not,
don't know.
They should make it for us.
Yeah, just name the pizza after you, right?
You know, they have really good
French
fries.
The morning after pizza. It has to be gluten free, it has to have no meat, and
no animal products.
And no cheese.
A lunch, and then no.
Oh, well, I have a reputation in the band of really liking spicy food, and like, whenever we go get Mexican food, I like dump salsa and hot sauce to where my burrito is like in a moat of sauce. So it'd have to be a spicy pizza, too.
We went to Azteca once, and she literally used 5 different hot sauces and was like, this is not hot enough, you guys. I need a habanero.
Can you differentiate the different hot sauces? Or like?
Oh, yeah.
What's your favorite again?
Expert over here.
Habanero, because
she even
it's
says
just,
it right.
But it depends, because certain ghost pepper hot sauces are really good, too, but it it's like, a whole nother topic of hot sauce.
do you at least have, like, your hot sauce card membership and, like, have a little bottle of Tabasco sauce in your backpack?
You know, I don't, and I really should. I noticed that they make little sriracha, like, bottles that you can strap to your backpack or something, and I feel like I need that, but for, like, really, really hot Mexican sauce.
We'll get you one, and then we'll just empty the sriracha and put something else in it.
That
the,
works.
The there
you go.
Sauce.
I don't know.
Now I know what I'm getting Austin for her birthday, guys.
There you go.
The other thing I noticed, other food-related thing, was ketchup on mac and cheese.
I've never heard of that one.
Really?
Who hurt you?
I mean, I think I've had that before. I feel like it's very American sounding, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. Whatever.
I actually can't do mac and cheese on its own.
Really?
So.
See, I used
Who
to.
Hurt you?
I have to do a. I mix in chili.
Oh.
So I get a can of chili and then you mix that in with your mac and cheese.
You just don't. Is it the cheese part? You just can't have just cheese.
It's weird. It's the consistency thing for me. The
texture.
The chili thing just sort of thickens up a little bit. It's great.
Right. Chili sounds a lot better than ketchup, though.
It's a lot better.
I used to work at a restaurant where I was cooking, and we would always have a mac of the day. It was a vegan restaurant.
Oh!
And so I've learned that with mac and cheese, the crazier you get, the better it usually gets. Mm-hmm. You can put anything in mac and cheese, and it will still just be amazing.
Just
like potatoes?
This
yes.
Oh, yeah. Potatoes, mac and cheese. totally. Just call it the Idaho special.
So good. Just all the carbs.
Can you tell we're hungry?
You need to stop talking about food.
All right.
We are hungry. Mac and cheese. I can talk about mac and cheese all day long.
Yeah.
Stephanie knows. A little weird.
Yeah, we've had our times with mac and cheese.
So, as a band, what's the biggest obstacle for you guys? Is it getting band practice together? Is it booking shows? Is it the money part? Like, what's the biggest thing for you guys?
Getting started is such an obstacle. It really is, especially like women are such a minority in this industry, and it really is. When you want four women musicians in the same room, that is a challenge. Like, and it's, you know, and you also have to throw in the fact that, you know, sometimes you just don't like each other. And
that's fair.
Thank God I love all of these girls more than like some of my family members, but it's, trust me, there's some family members I really don't like. That's not saying much.
But yeah, definitely.
Yeah, just getting us in the same room was definitely something.
Just
the fact
finding,
that we did it.
Just finding first, each like, other so hard.
Well, no, like the first time we were all in a room together and like all played music, it was just like, this is it.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of energy. You know, I've been in bands with females, but mostly I've been the only girl in all the bands I've been in, and it's just definitely different, the atmosphere and just, the whole energy and feel of it. Mm-hmm. It's so fun. And we talk about outfits for gigs, and so I just
sometimes
think
that is our biggest obstacle.
I
was going to wear green.
Oh, Lord, I don't want to talk about the color red right now. You're not getting into that.
So you guys aren't matching at all? You all did you different outfits then? Okay.
Yes, but they all have to coordinate.
Yes, it is a process. You would not believe the work we go through.
Like, our last show, we coordinated that we were all going to wear, like, battle gear because it was the same day as the Women's March was.
Okay.
Which three of us went to.
Yeah. So we do try sometimes to have a theme with our clothes, but you still don't want to end up wearing the same thing as your bandmate.
I mean, that's pretty cool. I've seen some bands where it looks like they just sort of went off the street and got up on the stage and started playing. It's like, oh, you guys are the band. Okay.
Yeah, no, there was a show I played in a project I was in once, and I was going to wear my army clothes, and I was like, yeah, and I know the boys would never, ever wear anything important. My bassist showed up in a suit.
Oh, my.
And then my drummer showed up wearing tie-dye, and it was definitely
eclectic mix.
We looked real weird up there.
Hey, you guys were wearing clothes, and that's what matters.
Does it?
I may or may not have seen a new drummer, and it was an experience.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd get kind of slippery. You know, you'd fall off the throne. You know what I mean? You'd get kind of sweaty when you drum.
Like you don't even have like a guitar to cover you up.
Drums cover you enough, honestly.
He's not allowed to post that picture on Facebook either. So.
See, that's just
it got reported.
Just dumb.
Sad. Yeah. Just put on some pants, yo.
But you got
at least like some undies.
Well, while we're talking about outfits, why not talk about the photo shoot you guys did? Because you have one. I saw the album on your Facebook page. Let's talk about that a little bit, because that's something I haven't seen any other bands really do. They'll do some shoots for their album work, but not anything really as extensive as what I saw you guys do, and that was pretty tight.
We are really blessed with the connection. My dad is actually a photographer, and he works in rentals, so it was kind of just... I am really fortunate to just be like, what do we want to do? We want to go to Beth's Cafe and just kind of invade and just with a ton of equipment, let's just do it. Why not? So we went to Beth's Cafe. Our very first photo shoot as a full band. My dad and our favorite local artist is Henry. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a famous muralist in downtown Seattle. We spent like 8 hours finding our favorite murals. And then we linked up with the rest of the band and just shot in front of those. Mm-hmm. And
that was so fun. That was one of the first things that we all did as a band together.
That was
definitely just like our music. We like to keep people on their toes and do different types of photo shoots and just kind of get crazy with it, you know?
Yeah. What was the other one
we
did?
I think we've just had those
two.
We
just had the
two. We have a lot of albums of our live shows. Dennis often comes out to our shows and shoots live pictures of us and gives them back, and they're usually amazing.
Oh,
amazing.
Yeah.
So you guys got together, you got your look down, you coordinated outfits. How'd you decide on the name? Because as I've been talking to people up here in the station, it's just sort of like, oh yeah, I'm interviewing the morning after, and like, the morning after pill? It's like, No, they're just the morning after, as far as I know. I haven't done the interview yet.
We've gone through a few
okay.
different things.
Yeah.
I originally started the project, and it was going to be Nip Slip. That
and
project didn't.
Once I came into that, it wasn't going to be that.
No.
My second idea was Mom Jeans.
And that, again,
it
no.
It just kind of didn't sit right. Anna and I kind of vetoed that. And then we were going to be Ludo. I don't remember what it stood for. It was an acronym for something that we had come up with.
Yeah.
It was really cool, but then...
It was super cute, and then we found another band that was also called Ludo that was actually...
They were quite big, and we
were
like, oh, shoot.
They had a Wikipedia page.
Yeah, we can't do that.
But then we were just kind of talking. We were like, what's something that's like kind of out there and different, but easy to remember and easy to, you know, type out? You're not going to misspell it. And also says like... Hey, we're different, we're women, and we're proud of it.
And that's when we came up with the Walk of Shame.
Yeah, yes, then, that was originally
and
it, and then we decided that
And then
sounded
we all said,
like,
that's dumb.
We all said, that sounds a little too much like a thrasher metal band, which is not what we are. And so I was like, well, what about The Morning After?
Yeah.
And it's thus became The Morning After.
The band already had a name by the time I had joined. But I would just like to put out there that at some point the name Octoboob also came up because there's four of us.
That, yeah.
Octoboob. That's kind of our secret show plan, is if we ever get like, you know, like real big. Not guaranteeing anything, but you know, we get to the point where we play secret shows.
That's our secret name. Yeah.
Well, Or you guys are all about keeping on their toes. Was it like Seven Scepter or whatever? Scepter boob?
I mean,
is it like a scepter of boobs? How would that work? Is the whole staff made of different boobs?
I don't want to lose the boob.
No, you won't lose the boobs. They'll be different boobs. They're not your boobs.
We're all protecting them right now.
And then that actually falls into the album name then, right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
That was the one thing that probably took the most work out of the album, getting there, and we made it to the studio, we got everything planned, we're working, and we're like, okay, things are on track. What's the album called?
I don't know.
Yeah. It took us a while. I think we decide, like, in the car drive
we
back?
Were driving
we were almost
back.
Home.
Yeah.
We were driving back to Washington, and we were all pretty quiet, and we were talking about it earlier in the car. Like, we don't know, we were doing all these brainstorming, not liking anything, throwing it out, and quiet. And just, stay from breakfast! And we're like, And we all just,
It kind of stuck.
Perfect. It clicked.
We considered The Morning After and then just naming it, like, Pill, but that didn't go with any of our songs or any of our attitude. We were like,
We wanted
cool,
something that made sense, but also was pretty cute.
And welcoming. People to feel like we want you to talk to us. Like
stay
we
for
want
breakfast.
You to,
we want you to stay around, listen to our music, and, you know,
get to know us.
Get to know
us. Like, I'll cook you breakfast. It won't be good, but, you know, I'll definitely cook something
for
you.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to cook anymore, so.
Okay.
As long as somebody else is like, I'll stay for breakfast as long as somebody else is cooking. That's that's perfect.
I will always cook for you guys.
Yes,
but you
Stephanie
all
is our cook.
Well, at least you have one. I've seen bands who are just like, we're pretty good at cooking cup of noodles. That's about it. So at least you guys have something you can cook for you then.
Cup of noodles is a sham. what?
And since you guys are from all over the place, what makes the Seattle scene different? So you have a couple of you who've been in Seattle forever and then a couple of you from out of state. What's your favorite part about Seattle music? What's your least favorite part?
I'll go ahead and jump in on this one. I'm actually from the Bay Area, California. And we do have a music scene down there, but it's not quite as concentrated. And we have like one or two punk venues. Like there's Gilman, which if anyone's been to the Bay Area and has seen a show there, probably knows what Gilman is. But other than that, there's like all of the shows are really spread apart. Like there'll be a show in San Francisco and a show in Sacramento, and they're like 2 hours apart from each other. Here in Seattle, everything is so centrally located, and everyone knows each other in the music scene pretty much. And it's so cool because it fosters this artistic community, and I haven't seen that anywhere else.
Well, yeah, you say Bay Area, and I think hip-hop almost, and like the Bay Area hip-hop movement. So like you say punk, I'm just like, there's the punk scene down there?
There is. It's thriving, actually, but I don't think it's even close to the magnitude of a scene that Seattle has.
And then what does the Idaho music scene look like? Because I that's one where I'm just like, Idaho plays music? They don't just start playing potatoes?
You'd think that there is no Idaho music scene, but there was a little bit of a scene. I moved here with the band that I was in when I met Anna, and we moved here because there was a lack of a scene. But the scene in Idaho is very close-knit, everybody knows everybody, but it gets old after a while. It's like after a year, you're playing the same venues over and over, you're playing with the same bands over and over, and nothing ever changes. And that's why I moved here, was to get to know more people, to be more involved, and to learn more, and not just feel like I was stuck in the loop, you know? But Idaho is, it's fun. There's more of a scene than you would expect coming out of Boise. There are some cool bands that I see coming, and I'm like, why don't you just move to Seattle already?
Seattle's very special. I mean, this is my hometown, so this is what I know, but definitely the Seattle music scene is, how do I say this? It is always changing and evolving in different ways, and we're all, I feel like, even if we're pretty connected, but even if we haven't made those certain connections, we're all very open, and we're all just really nice and just trying to connect, you know, musically, and
everybody knows everybody.
Well, we have our wall of signatures up here in the studio, and when you guys came in, you started looking at the signatures, you started pointing them out, and I didn't...
We spent the first 20 minutes here like, oh, you know this person? Oh, I don't... Do you know this person? Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
I didn't hear you guys mention a name and sound disappointed or anything. So that was really cool that, like, every time you saw a name that you noticed, you all got excited. That's a really cool thing to hear from a scene.
It's, like, really rare to have a bad experience with, like, a specific person or a specific band. It's, like, it's really rare for that to happen, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now, it's the important thing with music, too. You just gotta, you know, support each other.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
We're all about it. All about supporting each
yeah.
other.
Yeah.
Now, before I end the interview, I know we said no more food questions, but I got one more I ask everybody. And that is, the morning after, how do you guys make your peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? I have to know.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I love peanut butter and jelly sandwich. The important part is, you start with the peanut butter, and you have to spread the peanut butter to all edges of the bread. There cannot be any bread left under the peanut butter.
Now, is it crunchy or smooth?
I like smooth. I do like crunchy, but I prefer smooth. I'll have crunchy if it's there, but I'd rather just eat that with a spoon. And then you do the same with the jelly. But the important thing is, when you start with the peanut butter, you don't have to rub your knife on like a cloth or anything, or like a napkin. You can just use the bread, and it'll just come right off. It's better. You're wasting less getting all you can. Because, you know, you don't want to, like, double dip peanut butter and jelly into each other. You know what I mean?
If people could see you do that dance right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. That sounded so beautiful.
I mean, jelly preferences? I won't touch strawberry.
What? What?
Honestly, I'm not a biggest fan of strawberry either.
Thank you.
Strawberry all the way, though.
Like...
Okay, but how do you feel about grape? Because if you like grape, I don't know if we can do this anymore.
I'm not a big fan of grape. I just love, like, raspberry, blackberry.
I think all that tastes the same. Yes. I don't tell the difference between a lot of things. Like, mostly all green vegetables taste the same to me. Like, I'm really bad, so...
Anna, you are paining my heart right now.
If it's not, you know, yeah, if it's gluten-free, I can have it.
I will say something that will make Stephanie... probably cringe for the rest of her life is, I don't know if you guys have ever had those, like, pre-made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I think Smucker's makes
them. The Uncrustables?
Yes.
I lived off of those for like a week once.
So, I don't necessarily think that they're good, but I used to put them in the freezer, but not let them get so frozen to where they're solid, but frozen enough to where they're like, ooh, ice cream texture.
Yeah, so sandwich popsicle, there you go.
Yeah, and I used to do that all the time as a kid, and I don't know. I might have to do that again.
How have you never told me this?
This is a big bonding moment. Because like I used to kind of do the same thing.
Oh my gosh.
Like, this is a big bonding moment. The Uncrustables are good for when you don't want to actually have to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Because, you know, it does take a little effort if you want to do it right.
My brother also refused to eat peanut butter or anything with peanut. He's not allergic, but he just hates peanuts for some reason. So if I used the same knife for the peanut butter as I did for the jelly, he would like throw a fit.
Oh my goodness.
When you said you have to put the peanut butter first, I always put the jelly first because I don't mind getting jelly in my peanut butter, but I can't put peanut butter in the jelly.
Well, situationally, that makes sense.
I had a huge kick when I was a kid. It was just jelly sandwiches. Oh, it was delightful.
Screw the peanut butter. Just jelly all the way. Perfect.
I just wasn't a peanut butter fan. I just liked the creaminess, but...
Okay, this might sound gross, but have any of you ever had a grilled PB&J?
Oh!
You melt a little butter in the pan.
That's good.
You grill the PB&J.
That's some good stuff.
Like a grilled cheese, but PB&J. Have you ever had that?
No, so like,
can I hire
you as a caterer or something?
Yes.
Perfect. So.
I've actually been sought out as a caterer before, and then they canceled like a week before the event. I was really
so mad. I'll book you guys for a show and then have you do the catering for it too.
Excellent.
Sounds good.
Sounds great.
We'll play music for you and we'll make you food.
Yes.
Yes.
So
it'll all be gluten-free and vegan.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome.
Let's get social media handles. Where can people find you guys? Where can they find your music?
Facebook, The Morning After. Just look us up. We're the ones with the pink logo.
Also, if you just do the www.facebook.com/TheMorningAfterOfficial1, the number one, that would work too.
That'll take you directly to our page so you don't have to like search.
We have an Instagram as well.
Which is The Morning After Official.
Oh, and you can also always email us if you have any questions about where to find it. We can send you all the stuff if you're just like, I don't want to look it up, but I'll email you. It's themorningafterofficial@gmail.com. And then our Bandcamp is just bandcamp.com/themorningafter, right? I think so. /releases, I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure that's it.
Yeah.
If it's not that, it's either The Morning After Official.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll link it on the interview so people can find it that way, too.
Also, we have a hashtag MFGP.
What does it stand for?
I'm going to get bleeped here. Get ready. It's going to stand for motherfucking girl power, which is, you know, empowering as heck.
Yes.
But
that's
all the other hashtags were taken.
We're
so.
All about empowerment and individuality. And
yeah. And if you
inequality.
Yes.
You know, if you just kind of look up the hashtag, you'll find one of us on there.
There you go. At least you guys have your own hashtag. I still haven't made my own yet.
I mean, there are tons of other posts that say MFGP. But, you know, we want it to be like, you see that, you think The Morning After.
Yes.
That's solid.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Branding, right?
Yeah!
So, again, you guys are The Morning After. Thank you for coming in studio and talking to me. This has been a ton of fun, and I'm glad I finally got to meet you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I talked to people up here, and, just sort of, oh yeah, I know this person, and I know this band. I'm like, why didn't you tell me sooner? So I'm super glad I got to meet you guys, and yay! I'll definitely be at your show. It's Louis G's, 8 o'clock, $8.
Yes.
Super easy to remember.
Saturday, February 4th.
February 4th.
All ages!
You guys will have your merch table.
We will have shirts and things available, as well as actual CDs. They look gorgeous.
Those are nice.
Yeah, we haven't gotten them yet, but supposedly they look gorgeous.
Yes, yes. Apparently they look really good. We get them tomorrow, so.
And we'll be happy to meet and talk to anyone who comes by our merch table at the show.
Yeah, come say hi.
You know, we may be wearing battle gear. We may look and sound intimidating or whatever, but we are actually,
we like to talk to people.
Yeah, we really like to talk to people.
So you guys cash only or do you take cards?
Cash only.
All right. So we'll tell people hit the ATM beforehand,
right?
Hit the ATM.
Yep. Tap the ATM.
Wow. We'll get there. We're getting there.
Yes.
We'll get cards soon.
Sweet. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming up. I'm super excited for the show. We will definitely be blasting your music like crazy until the show and well after because you guys sound awesome.
Aww. Thank you.
Thank you for coming up.
Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you.